Welcome to the Marketing Millennials, the No BS Marketing Podcast. I'm Daniel Murray, and join me for unfiltered conversations with the brains behind marketing's coolest companies. The one request I tell our guests, stories or it didn't happen. Get ready to turn the fuck up.
It's all about ideation. That's the key starting point for all of these tools. It's that eliminating that blank canvas effect. What am I thinking? What am I feeling? What do I want to get out of my head? There is so much waste in the creative process prior to these tools where you're just struggling at that point. And often barriers to even try to test out new ideas because your creative is billing you by the hour, or they're not available, or they only have 2 hours this week or month or whatever it might be. So I think the reality for anyone is you can use them to get the ideas going.
Ever heard the old marketing expression, slow and steady wins the race? Me neither. That's why Wix Studio is built to help web agencies and enterprises scale smarter and faster. Step into Wix Studio to see more. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Marketing Millennials. Today, I have Russ Perry, the CEO and founder of Design Pickle. He could tell you a little bit more about what Design Pickle does, but I'm excited to chat with him about the creative process and how AI is going to help it. But I'll let Russ give a little quick background on how he got into marketing and design and all that good stuff.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Daniel. Well, I think I'm like a super standard entrepreneur story in that I totally failed at most of my first businesses and came to doing creativity and design because I worked for a couple cool brands, LG and Apple, the most notable ones, and saw how amazing they were doing in marketing and product launches and campaigns and strategies. And so when I was like 23, I was like, hell yeah, I'm as smart as these guys. Like, I can do this, and thought starting an agency was the best way to go about it. I know this is a short podcast, so I'll save the failure stories for another time, but effectively I was wrong. And my agencies ended up doing a lot of design, doing a lot of branding, expanding our teams actually internationally and working with the creatives all around the world to help get the jobs done. But ultimately my process was super broken. I wasn't really clear on how to manage clients, how to manage expectations, how to manage deliverables in general, and making sure that things kind of turned out the same way each time. So with that said, when you're losing money every month and a business model, it's not necessarily a sustainable strategy. And me and my partner decided to close our agencies. And at that point, I was an unemployed entrepreneur. And I did what most unemployed entrepreneurs do and started consulting. So went into that space. And out of that came Design Pickle, which was a solution I needed to find easy to access reliable designers to support my creative clients or my consulting clients. And at first it was, there was no company involved at all. It was just like, I needed help with design every day. I didn't want to hire someone. I didn't want to hire an agency. I didn't want to go in the marketplaces because that's kind of like the lottery of talent. And put together a team, put together a really janky system, which was easily hacked, as I later learned in life, like a few years later. And that system of just, I need this. Can you design this? There's no ego. There's no briefs. There's no process. There's no coffee brainstormings. It was just like, this is what I need. That was where the value really emerged. And clients were thanking me, which was really unique because in the agency, it was never really thanked. It was always like blamed and people were pissed and projects were late. And so that was like the aha moment was being thanked for business card design. It was like, wow, this is great. This is just easy, straightforward. Things turn out well. I can manage expectations. Maybe I should turn this into a business. And I was, you know, always been big into podcasts. And I heard of this crazy concept called recurring revenue. And I had never heard about that before. And even though like I had definitely been subscribing to things, but for me, the idea that you would get paid the same thing every month from a client was this light bulb moment to say, well, could I do that with design? Could I create an easy experience for other people, not just my clients? And so, yeah, almost 10 years ago, we launched the business and pretty much stayed the course.
I think it's safe to say that you understand the creative process really well. And one of the biggest fears right now with creatives and designers and this whole industry is that AI is just going to take it over and it's going to be way harder for a designer. But I know you have more of a positive outlook, so I want to chat about why you think AI is actually a great thing for the creative process and designers and this industry.
I mean, I think it comes back to actually a paper I wrote like many, many, many years ago. And if you take AI out of the equation and you just think advancement, you just plug in advancement, something's new, better, faster, cheaper. In services, this has always helped businesses, always. And the providers of those services who more or less could be displaced or who are challenged, the incumbents of whatever advancement, are always met with like a fork in the road. Do I adopt it? Do I use it? Do I go with it? Or do I say, no way, like, I'm not going to do this. This is not how it's done. And a great simple example is like textile manufacturing. You know, that was like that was a service. That was a machine. People did it and people created shirts and created clothing and all of that. And machines came and they did it and other markets did it. And now, you know, you pretty much have the clothes we wear that's manufactured in the most efficient way possible, or like the $200 screen t-shirt from LA that like, you're like, I want the guy who's still doing it that way. And so you really see this like fork in the road. And with creativity, it's happened time and time again with just digitizing things. I mean, that was when I started. I'm old enough to kind of like be at the beginning of digital design and digital printing and all of these things. And then, you know, this internet crazy thing, like, well, now my content can be accessed wherever. I got to design for these new mediums. So to me, that's all that this is happening. It's just, it is a new way of doing something. It's an improved way in many ways. And I sleep easy at night knowing none of these things run without people. And you're still going to need people who understand how to use them, who understand how to use them the best, the fastest, and accomplish what you need to accomplish from a business, which isn't really clear to a chat prompt just sitting there. You're going to have to be directing and using the tools, no different than Adobe's, you know, you open a file, what are you going to do? You got to create, you got to know where you're headed. And so I'm excited. And I think like the best thing to design something and create something really good is, for me, iterations and revisions and feedback and going through that process. And if I can do that 10 times in the time it takes someone to do it once, my product's going to be better and my impact is going to be better and I'm going to be able to get to where I want to go faster.
The thing about AI is it's very good starting point. It's very good leveraging point, but I think great designers know what looks good, what feels good, what will work for a client, what matches like their brief. And AI is just kind of guessing from their backlog. So it's a good way to like get that going, the process going and the ideation going, because the hardest part is like the ideation part. And if you can get the ideation and like see multiple ideas at once, your brain starts firing and understanding all that good stuff.
I would actually say designers, great designers are better at something else. And that's interpreting what the client needs. Like, what is the goal of whatever the hell you're trying to do? You could be an average designer and in terms of your skill set of the tools, but you're really experienced in a space. You know, you're really able to tease out what is actually this person need, or what does this business need, or what is the goal of this campaign? And for me, then that is the expertise that will continue to transcend every tool that comes from here on out. I mean, we could have mind reading, whatever tools that we just think and it's created. But if your thoughts are shit or you don't know what you're doing, then like it's going to output that just the same. And so I think for the creative process and at a high level, designers are the experts in understanding how to coordinate whatever tools they need to pull together to accomplish external real world outcomes and real world goals, whether that's communication, sales, signups, whatever it is. And great designers through and through have been the best at that piece of it, is like,
hey, I want to meet with you. I'm going to talk with you. I'm going to understand that. And then I'm going to take whatever tools I need to be able to execute what it is. And generally clients, you know, and I say this working with thousands and thousands and thousands of clients, they're really not great at times communicating this. They don't know. They're like, I just want to grow my business. I just want to do this. And you're like, all right. And the good designer is able to dig into that and ask those questions and then say, okay, this is the path for you. And I think they've had a slight advantage with tools. Like they kind of know how to create and they understand these complex tools and how the pen tool works in Adobe Illustrator and all this. Well, that's going to get flattened. So really, really the expertise of designers is going to even be more important that they understand how to achieve outcomes and then how to assemble the right tools for those outcomes.
It's combining the results and the design at the same time. A lot of designers are, the best designers I know understand that at the end of the day, our goal, and especially for marketing, especially the end of the goal day is we need to whatever, convert sales, get more impressions, whatever the goal is of that campaign, your goal for this like brief is to do that. It's not to make like the most pretty thing that nobody, like that you think is pretty or think it's great. It's use the principles you know to make sure that the client's happy, the audience will also convert from this. It's all those pieces on the outside that make the best design.
And the technology behind the way you get your stuff out there. That's the other piece. You can have the dopest, most amazing, world-class award-winning idea and concept. And if you just publish it somewhere that's not to the right people or not for the right medium or format, it'll flop. And I tell the story. Actually, I haven't told this story very often because this is kind of a silly one. But I was the first at Facebook ads manager of Design Pickle. And I went to Udemy and I took this course. And I was like so dope to become a Facebook expert for $50. And my course was taught by like this kind of gray, sketchy dude who kind of just was like teaching me all these hacky things about Facebook algorithms. It really wasn't strategy. It was like how to game the system. And so out of that course during that time, this was many years ago, I don't think this would work as well anymore. He's like, post something super random, super generic, and that's how you get followers. And that's how you get engagement. And I just post a pickle because we're Design Pickle. And the ad was like pickles, like this business page. I probably got like 20,000 followers or subscribers. I forget what it was in Facebook back in the day. Had nothing to do with my brand, had nothing to do with my product. It was just like, I knew the tool in a way. Now you could argue that was a shitty audience and not who I should be going after. But I think the premise is like the content is part of it. But also, how are you getting it out there? And what tools are you using? And with the levels of engagement and interaction and inventory that you have across digital advertising platforms, sometimes creativity is way less important than understanding like, hey, I got to use this feature or button or boost or whatever it might be. And I think creatives need to understand that as well. Some do really well on that. That's just not relegated to like a digital strategist person. But creatives need to think about, well, hey, you know, like we can think about the carousel ad. Like some dude one day was like, hey, if I make these images kind of connect together, it's like you're linking through images and it looks cool. Well, that creative was thinking that there is a different technology play for what they're creating. And I think if I'm a creative, I'm learning more about that than I am about illustrative styles nowadays. That's where I'd be focusing my energy.
50% or less is just the content or the design itself. The other stuff is how you're marketing it. How is it distributed? How is it getting into the hands of your end user? How are people using that design or seeing that design or captivating their eyeballs? I mean, there's so much great content on there that's never been seen because nobody knows distribution. There's so much great design out there that's probably never been seen because nobody knows how to distribute it correctly for that platform. So I totally agree. It's same as like the way we think about newsletters and podcasts and all that stuff. It's the creation of the content is just a part of it. I think you just need to be above average in that
realm. The rest of it is like, how consistent are you distributing it? How are you, like, how are you getting eyeballs? Are you getting attention? Because the number one goal in marketing, whether people like it or not, is you have to get attention. That's like the number one goal of marketing, and get eyeballs on your content. Otherwise, you're just like creating a piece of art that might not have been seen.
Right. And I think, like, I've some friends in the music industry, and I was hiking with actually a pretty well-known musician, Mike Posner, and he was talking about the business of music. And he was like, you know what? It's just, you never know. You just publish stuff, you put it out there, you think it's the most amazing art in the world, you think it's the best thing in the world, and then all of a sudden the thing that you just shipped on a Friday because you were like lazy and just was like, ah, this idea is okay. That's what trends, that's what people love. And for me, coming back around to generative tools and the lowering the speed in which we can create, increasing the speed in which we create, this is like two sides of the coin, like blessing and a curse, where now we can create more and we can test more and we can get things out there and let the audiences decide and let the algorithms decide. But the creative inside of me is like, if that's just a bunch of crap, then everyone's doing it, then the tools will get smart enough to still look at what's valuable, what's interesting, what's the idea. I think a future state of ad tech is there's no more audience building, period. You just put in your business, your info, and it's like, cool, we got you. We know exactly who you should go for. And then at that point, it's all about the ideas. It's all about the creativity, because you're not even choosing any longer who you're submitting or trying to target.
I think it's the pendulum shift in life. I think like in the 19, like before digital, the best ideas won. It was hard to do targeting, and the targeting was the creative. You might have been able to get like a list of names and be able to, but the best ideas were, hey, we're going to do broad targeting. The creative is going to choose who's going to come to this ad or not, and who's going to buy. And the best ideas won. That's why you saw some of the best ads of all time are usually the ones like from the past, because that's the best ideas won.
I've only got 30 seconds to tell you about Wix Studio, the web platform for agencies and enterprises. So here's a few things you can do in 30 seconds when you manage projects on Studio. Work in sync with your team on one canvas. Reuse templates, widgets, and sections across sites. Create a client kit for seamless handovers. And leverage best-in-class SEO defaults across all your Wix sites. Time's up, but the list keeps going. Step into Wix Studio to see more.
I wanted to go ask you a question about the side-by-side of what the current creative process would look like, and then what would a creative process look like by adding a little bit of AI into it. Like, what are the side-by-sides, and like, what are the big differences that you see?
So I think this is like the least evergreen topic possible to pontificate on, because probably by the time we launch, there's going to be so many changes. I just saw today ChatGPT-4 and their DALL-E integration. You can now do like light editing and stuff, which is pretty new. But here's where I think it's going to be, at least for a few months, if not a year. And here's where actually I'm using it. It's all about ideation. That's the key starting point for all of these tools. It's that eliminating that blank canvas effect. What am I thinking? What am I feeling? What do I want to get out of my head? There is so much waste in the creative process prior to these tools where you're just struggling at that point. And often barriers to even try to test out new ideas because your creative is billing you by the hour, or they're not available, or they only have 2 hours this week or month or whatever it might be, or they're super loaded. So I think the reality for anyone, because they're free tools, most of them, is you can use them to get the ideas going. Now, it is to a limiting point. Like, I find myself in what I call like generative hell at some points, where I'm like 3 hours in trying to generate a meme photo for my buddy. And I'm like, what the hell am I doing? Like, why? Like, regenerate. No, too many fingers. What's going on? And so, like, I think you do at some point ship it to someone when that idea is 50%, 40%, 60%. There's no hard line. And why I love this use case of just ideas and getting them out there and going out there is because as a professional creative and designer, that's the most important thing to know to really deliver great work, is to understand the audience, understand what you want, understand what the vision or the ideas are. So these tools level the playing field to communicate visually. And why have this long brief and this like explanation and these, this is the colors and this is the brand and da 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 and 10,000 words when you can just be like, okay, like I'll give you an example. I'm launching a podcast soon. I wanted like an 80s metal vibe. So I just made 80s metal CD covers, album covers, like, and that's, and I did like three or four of them. And then I sent it to my team. I was like, now make this ours. And we went from, you know, traditionally three, four, five rounds of revisions to like two, because I had shipped an idea to them that was so much more developed from a visual standpoint. So from a creative process, I think this is going to allow teams to focus more on the ideas themselves and less on just that starting point of where do we begin? What do you want? And I consider myself a visual communicator and a great communicator, but in organizations, you know, we all have those people we work with who is like, they can barely write a three-word email, let alone actually communicate visually. So give them a prompt tool, let them play around with it. There's no risk or cost to that. And then all of a sudden now you're connecting and communicating and that creative process can move faster, which means you can get more ideas out the door, iterate, and get closer to those targets you're seeking.
Also, what I think is going to become a better, more skill, which it has been a skill for a long time, but people don't think about it, is you got to become like a great consumer to be able to connect these ideas, to even say it to the AI. Like you coming up with that 80s metal, it means you consumed 80s metal stuff before, and then you're connecting it with a new idea with it, which is a podcast, and then you're coming up with thoughts on that. But I don't, if you didn't consume 80s metal anything, you're just going to be like in this mindset of just, oh, here are these other podcast covers, like let's try to do one from design for me. But like I think if you consume TV shows, if you consume what other people are doing in other industries, other podcasts, other things outside, you become a better creative, which you can say, oh, you know what? I saw a cool person do this and I want to make that a new marketing idea. Let's put these together, see what comes out of it, and then give it to design to do more and more out of it and get to a new original idea. I think people forget about the consuming part of creating, which is a huge part. I don't think my newsletter or my stuff would be as good if we didn't consume a lot of marketing content or content outside of marketing to make sure it is better. Like even the festival we did, the marketing festival we did, was taking like ideas from Disneyland, taking ideas from Coachella, and then making it into a marketing festival.
And I think you just made the case for why designers, human designers, are going to always be relevant, no matter what the tools are, is because that takes time, that takes curiosity, that takes, you know, someone who's willing and wanting to learn and break outside their space. And many people, I want to say most people, don't have those characteristics. So if these tools and creation in general, if the quality of creation is a byproduct of your level to ability to learn and be curious and get out there and synthesize stuff, I mean, this is the classic liberal arts concept with Steve Jobs, why their products were so, you know, prevalent to connect with people, because he was bringing in philosophy and bringing in all these other areas. But if the skill set to do that is requirement for having great output and design, what we'll find is a lot of people lack those skills. And their tool usage, you know, whether it's generative or other, will suck. And what they create sucks because they're not bringing in anything. Enter the professional designer. Enter the person that has the ability to think in ways that connect different ideas and bring new concepts to market and pull in all of their curiosity and learnings and consumption. And that's like at the end of the day when people are like, Russ, what about, you know, are robots going to take over? I'm like, hell no. Like, people are going to be really valuable. And I love that idea and that concept, is because as a professional creative, managing a creative process,
most of your ability isn't in like the hours it takes you to use the tools. It's in the years, you know, months, years, decades that you've spent being curious and learning and creating this lattice work of ideas that you can pull in from. And whether it's an Adobe Canvas or a ChatGPT prompt, that's when you deploy all of this knowledge you've accumulated as a professional.
I totally agree. I think that's why you still need a good designer to know what good design is and good ideas are and what good looks like. I think that's the problem, is that a lot of people, you see it on LinkedIn now, people are putting out ChatGPT posts because they don't know what good looks like. So they just putting it out there and they're assuming it's good because AI wrote it. But if you've written posts or written things in the past, you would know that, hey, this doesn't have a hook. This doesn't have a story. This doesn't have this. This is just a good foundation for an idea for a post, and you haven't took the foundation and made it into a post that would work and connect with audience. Question I have for you is, how could the other side, so clients, give an agency or a designer a good enough starting point to make them be able to? Because the problem I see a lot from the other side is that they give a bad idea or brief of what they're looking for, and then they don't give enough information to the design team, and then the design team does something and they say, no, not like that, but really it was just bad information coming in. So how could clients be better, or internal leaders be better at giving information to designers so they produce better work?
The best answer I have, because there's a lot of ways you could go, is to communicate visually. That's the best way. I used to do this before generative tools. I call it piggyback design or piggyback branding, where I would just take an afternoon and look at brands and concept, like to your point, consume. I would go to websites, I'd look at ads, I'd take screenshots, I'd pull it together. Not everything is like on brand for our brand, the colors, the audience, but it was like, what's cool about this idea? What's connecting with me? What do you think was connecting with our audience? And I create a big, you know, brainstorm of all these files in a folder and I'd send it over. I still do that to a certain extent, but now I can kind of like create my own stuff. I could go to ChatGPT and I said, hey, I want a sleek, modern vibe for this image or file or design. And it comes back sometimes horrible, but sometimes it's like in the right way I'm going. And rather than searching the web and trying to find things, I'm iterating on my own creations. But at the end of the day, the both paths come back to this simple reality, whereas visual communication, when you're creating visual content, is this most streamlined, effective way to communicate. And if you choose any other path, not to say you can't get to the finish line, it's just going to take you longer. You're going to find more errors. You're going to get into what you said, where you're in a rush. You say one thing, you ship it. 2-3 days later, files or projects come back and you're like, what? This is not at all what we need. Until you go back to your email and you reread it and you realize, oh, wait, this is exactly what I asked for. I just wasn't being detailed enough. I wasn't being thoughtful enough in the direction. So I say, cut all that out and, you know, communicate visually. Now, of course, applicable to visual content. If you're writing or if you're doing research or other things, other service areas, it's not as applicable. But I think for creativity and design and visual design and video and motion graphics, there's just so much stuff out there. And then now we can like create so much stuff. I just am lazy. Like, tell the creative guy who's visual what you need visually. It seems very logical to me.
The only thing you really need to communicate is like, oh, this is the goal of the campaign. This is what we're trying to achieve with this campaign. This is the audience we're trying to communicate it to. And this is the platform it's going to go out on. And then you can give like the concept you're thinking about visually. I think people overdo a brief and it gets very confusing and very hard to do. But if you just give certain ideas of, oh, I'm trying to go, even with like marketing land, I'll give how we did our brief is like, I gave a picture of a Coachella lineup. I gave a picture of like the Disneyland map. I gave pictures of like,
some other festivals I like that were not Coachella, and I was trying to connect. And then the designer came back with like cool concepts because I gave them 20 different visual things that I thought would be the vibe of what I'm looking for as a conference.
But I want to highlight something, and this is something that professional creatives should be very careful about. Is your client the client, or is their client the client? Because you will drive yourself nuts sometimes if you try to steamroll the person paying your bills with what you think is right versus playing into understanding that, hey, my client actually, what they like, so to speak, might actually be the best client to design for, not because I'm trying to make them happy or get a quick yes or, you know, like rub them the right way, I guess. I don't know, weird saying, but the reality is that they're in their business every day. They know their customers. They talk to them. They experience them. They're with them. So if my client's personal preferences seem to be like against my design, you know, Rhode Island Institute of Design training that I had, well, I might want to put down my ego a little bit and realize that it's not about, you know, trying to prove them how smart I am as a designer, but help deliver what this person who lives and breathes every single day inside of their business wants, because that's actually could be closer to the truth because they are doing it and I'm not. So I think that's like, sometimes designers want to like, no, like I'm going to do the research and I'm going to tell you what to do. And I'm going to get in this place to where I'm the expert. And you know, there's always groups out there who do a great job at doing that. But I think for like 80 or 90% of design projects, it really saves a lot of trouble to actually design to the person you're working with a positive intent that they know their industry. Not always the case, but...
The best designers that I've seen have like show 80% of what the client said, and then they have like two rough drafts of like what they're thinking about too, and they put them all together, and then they're like, okay, they use their expertise for some of it, and they take what the client wants and use their expertise, but they also do like, here's what basically what you said and here's what I'm thinking too, and they bring some ideas at the table in a rough draft format so they don't like have a design. And then you have multiple options, because sometimes, like you said before, even the client doesn't even know what they want or what they're thinking or how to visually or creatively say something to you. So they need that creative spirit that a designer has. So I think having both, like don't go rogue and do your own thing, but having like, here's some ideas I was thinking about too that could be cool. And here's some ideas based on what you think about. Here are like six concepts. Which ones you like both? And we'll double down on the ones you like the best out of one, two, and three. It'd be actually funny when you tell them like, here are six concepts. Don't tell them that you snuck into that. And you see them choose your concepts. That's usually.
Well, and it's, you got to weigh like timeline, process, scope, you know. If you just need some Facebook ads cranked out, like you're just going to get the Facebook ads that you need and it's super direct. But like you're creating a brand kit for a conference that you want to have for many years to come and it's about an experience, like there's obviously going to be a lot longer of a process. I think it all just comes down to some of the similar things we've been talking about. Like you got to be able to create, you got to be able to iterate, and those extra concepts, those extra ideas, those extra things are going to only be good if the person guiding them and creating them, whether they're using generative tools or Design Pickle or whatever, has like a vision, has a path, has an understanding of what you're doing. I'm just excited because I think you can, like, tomorrow I could get you a Coachella inspired map and, you know, have that sent out to you. And if that's really what you're thinking, now is it going to be marketing millennial branded? No, but you could be like, oh yes, I love that. That's awesome. That's what I want. Okay, now let's go here. Let's go here. And that's where the people come into play, is to actually bring it to life, make it strategic, put in the right copy, put in the right content, go from there.
That's why I think the heavy lifting needs to be done ahead of time of saying, okay, I want the conference to have lands, for example. I want them to have the type of topics I want to talk about at this conference are the X, Y, and Z. Here are these things. Here are some ideas. And then like you could take like, okay, Coachella map. What would Coachella or like Disneyland map? What would a Disneyland if brand land, like for brand marketers became a Disneyland land, how would that like transform? And then you kind of have the like that heavy lifting of what's your vision, what are you going to talk about, who the audience is ahead of time. So it makes it easier for the designer or anybody to come back with ideas. I think the hardest thing is when you don't have a vision and you're just saying, hey, make me a brand kit for my business who targets plumbers and this is what I have. Like, yeah.
I actually love home service brands. It's kind of a weird niche that I follow. Like you see, like I saw today actually driving to work, like Benjamin Franklin HVAC. And it's like all branded American Revolution. And I think sometimes those are the brands that I get the biggest kick out of it because the CEO of that company had a vision and someone executed it exactly how they wanted to do it in a random obscure industry. And of course, now we're talking about it on a podcast. So something worked inside of that. So the clarity is what's most important. And if you don't have it, then I think that's why humans are going to always be super valuable is because they can tease it out or they can use their experience to help advance you in that point of clarity.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, a great designer could help get those concepts out of a client that is very struggling to get those things out of them. They could be like, well, let's talk about your vision first. Like, let's sit down and, like, this is what I need for me as a designer to make your process better and your results better. Like, do that. But I want to also ask you, what is a marketing hill you would die on?
Done is better than perfect. For me, get it out. Let's go. Let's stop iterating. Let's stop pontificating. Let's stop debating. Get it out because ultimately we could be right. We could be wrong. But until it's in the world, until it's in the universe and you're able to just see the market reaction, do customers spend time? Do customers spend money? Do they say this sucks? Whatever the reaction is, that's the ultimate source of truth.
100% agree with that. I always say, let the market decide. They're the audience. It's why even with ideas internally, when I used to be in-house for as a marketer, I used to always say like, let's just put your idea is good. You think your idea is good. You think your idea is good. Let's test both of them and see which one the market actually thinks is good. Because we don't know if it's good or not. We can guess by experience this might work better than the other, but sometimes that's not the case in the market.
And a marketing idea that just sits on a whiteboard or in a Trello or in a Google Drive is the worst idea ever because no one ever gets to see it. So like, exactly. I assume most people aren't going to do horribly opposite things that they should be doing in their space as a professional marketer. So generally, it should go a direction that's positive. How much or how far is debatable to the ideas, but if it never, ever gets out the door, then that is the worst idea.
I agree with that. Lastly, where can people find what you're doing and find you?
Yeah, so we are launching a new podcast. Not 100% sure of the domain, so just go to me on LinkedIn, Russ Perry on LinkedIn. And then the company's Design Pickle. We help people get faster creative ideas out all the time. So if you need help with that, we're definitely there. But excited to have a conversation with you, I think soon, Daniel, on our podcast on business ideas. And ultimately, on LinkedIn is where I talk about a lot of these ideas, concepts that are super niche and narrow to creative process. Maybe not a huge broad topic like marketing. So check me out there.
Awesome. I'm excited to see that podcast launch and
the 80s metal cover too.
This is where it's really going to show is this 80s metal cover, how good this podcast is.
I do have wigs in the other room. Maybe I'll put one on for you.
Just thinking outside the box. Well, thank you so much. And I really appreciate the conversation.
Awesome. Yeah. Take care.
Thanks so much for listening. Tune in next week to hear more great insights from marketing's coolest operators. If you haven't already, please consider subscribing to the Marketing Millennials podcast and giving it a 5-star rating. It helps bring more marketers into our community.